Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, through our Lord and our Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ. Our sermon text for today is the second reading appointed for this Holy Trinity Sunday. I read to you from the second chapter of the book of Acts, verse 14a, and then verses 22 through 36. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life, and you will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you have crucified. Thus far the text. I invite you to bow your heads with me in prayer. Lord God, we praise your holy name for the gift that you give us. The gift of your word is to be received with great joy and great expectation. And we ask that you help us to receive it in that way. It speaks of your Son, our salvation, and it gives us confidence to speak to the rest of the world. Bless us then in this word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, our Lord, friends, our God's glory is revealed in everything that he created and in all that he has redeemed. God's creation is magnificent. Just think of an atom and build your way up from there. Scientists estimate the average human cell is made up of about 100 trillion atoms, and the average human body of approximately the same number of cells. The math in and of itself boggles the mind. Now consider how each one of those atoms are ordered. Each one has been arranged to form a cell of which specific design and purpose has been ordained by its place in the body. Is it any wonder then that King David in the 139th Psalm wrote these words? He said, I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wonderful are your works. My soul knows it well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were written all the days that were ordained for me when as yet there were none of them. Psalm 139:14-16. King David obviously took some time to think about this. Inspired by God, David was drawn to reflect upon Genesis 1:1, which says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." In the beginning, out of nothing, God created. And even then, even as God was speaking that first Adam into existence, he was thinking about David. But then at that time, God was thinking about each one of us too. As the Apostle Peter points out in our sermon text today, King David, being a prophet, also reflected upon how God swore with an oath that one of his descendants would be king eternally, and that he would die and rise again. That king would not be abandoned to Hades by God, nor would his flesh ever see corruption. He would instead rise up victorious over death, and with him, you, his people, would also rise. In one moment, God saw the entire picture, and then he created. Now that's an awesome God. Awesome because his act of creation was far more than just arranging atoms into molecules and molecules into cell. It was awesome because his foreknowledge saw the fall of mankind into sin and still went on to form Adam out of the ground and to set this world into motion. And there was no debate. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit were all of one accord, even in the face of all the atrocities that we would commit in this world, even in the face of this unrest that's going on around us today. The looters, the vandals, all those who are moving around under the auspices of protest against police wrongdoing, who are really parts of organized crime gangs. God arranged every one of their atoms together, and just the same way as he did their victims, the shop owners, the merchants, and those whose buildings have been destroyed. God made George Floyd and Derek Chauvin the flashpoint of all this unrest in very much the same way too. Lest we forget, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free man, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Galatians 3:28. And Christ died for all. Just read that in John 3:16. Truthfully, we are all the reason for our Lord's crucifixion. And we are then also the reason for his exaltation. He saved every one of our dead atoms to restore them to life. From the tips of our toes right up to the tips of the hair on our shaggy COVID-19 heads. This Jesus God raised up. And of that, we are all witnesses, says the Apostle Peter in our text today. And that puts us into a very unique position. We aren't just created beings with the rest of the world. We're recreated beings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, raised up to be his holy church, which confesses his name. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, Jesus said in today's gospel lesson. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Out of all the sinners and broken people in this world, God has marked us with the sign of the cross and appointed us to bear his name to the world. Yet again, in that, God shows us his awesome and powerful nature. Jesus, who is in authority over all things, hands his authority over to us as a church to speak his name, to speak in his name. And he backs that up by being present in our testimony. He does not leave us as orphans, John 14:8, but instead remains with us in all things, empowering us and the testimony we give by his Holy Spirit. The lost, the erring, those who are so full of sin that they're despised even by the vilest criminals, they're still loved by God who made them, as are all those who have been victimized. Every single person, including the marginalized and those forgotten by society, those who are suffering greatly with mental health issues, the impoverished, the homeless, they too have been formed by the hand of God and therefore are our brothers and sisters by design. We should never walk by them. But instead, we should seek them out and serve them. Remember how Jesus said, "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Matthew 25, 35, and 36. We're blessed to be saved by Christ, and out of that blessing, we're blessed to minister to others. Consider what the Apostle Paul said to the church in Philippi. I'll read to you from the New Living Translation. For to me, living means living for Christ, and dying is even better. But if I live, I can do more fruitful work for Christ. So I really don't know which is better. I'm torn between the two desires. I long to go and be with Christ, which would be far better for me. But for your sakes, it's better that I continue to live. Knowing this, I am convinced that I will remain alive so that I can continue to help all of you grow and experience the joy of your faith. And when I come to you again, you will have even more reason to take pride in Christ Jesus because of what he is doing through me. That's Philippians 1, 21 through 26. We know the outcome of our faith, the blessing that's upon us. We know that all the time. But we're standing in and amongst those who are still dead and beside those who are struggling to hang on to their faith. For that reason, we've been set apart by God's Holy Spirit to proclaim salvation to them and partake in the very joy that will be their salvation. Jesus said this. He said, I tell you, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Luke 15, 7. The Holy Spirit is glorified by forming us into a church that proclaims the salvation of Christ to the world created by God. And that, my dear friends, completes the picture of the triune God in whose name we live. This week's key verse is from the psalm appointed for today. Psalm 8, verse 1, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. As always, you'll find that printed in your interactive worship bulletins, which are available through our website. I should tell you also, Psalm 8 goes on to say, you have taught children and infants to tell of your strength, silencing all your enemies and all who oppose you. The first two verses of Psalm 9 are equally worth mentioning. There King David writes, I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all the marvelous things you have done. I will be filled with joy because of you. I will sing praises to your name, O Most High. You can look that up in your own Bibles at home, and I encourage you to do that. The more you read from God's word, the more you'll come to know about him who loves you. Pray each time you open your Bibles and ask God to reveal himself to you in what you've read, that his name be glorified in what you learn. And if you don't have a Bible at home, please let me know. You can email me directly from our contact page on the website. There's a checkbox right at the bottom of that email form that you can request a Bible. Now may God's name, he who is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be glorified in this world through us all, that those who don't yet know his love come to the realization of their Creator and their Savior and the one who made them holy, the Holy Spirit. And may God's word rest upon each one of our lips, each one of us, that as his church we will proclaim it to all, and that we can all celebrate together what it is that God is bringing in as a harvest from this world. That way we'll rejoice as one people. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to take a moment and bow your heads with me in prayer. Lord God, we are just in awe of who you are. You're a God who created us atom by atom, molecule by molecule, cell by cell. You're a God who formed us out of the dust of the earth and made us to be alive. You're a God who blew your spirit into our hearts. You're a God who gave us a soul, which is eternal. While we have indeed destroyed the earthly temple that you designed for us in our bodies by our own sinfulness, we praise your name that you sent your Son to redeem us, and that you sent your Holy Spirit to help us to understand the love that has made us who we are, your redeemed children. Bless us with a confession that speaks loudly of what it is that you have won for us, that those who hear it might be saved. We ask that you empower us by the power of your Spirit, and that you go ahead of us already in that proclamation. Bless us through this week, Lord God, and bring us together again soon, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord.